Hey everybody, Ryan O'Halloran along with Jay Skirsky from the Buffalo News, another episode of Further Review. And for the first time of our distinguished history doing Further Review, we're talking about a loss, 35-10 last night in Baltimore. The Bills fall to 3-1. And it was pretty much what the score said. It was one-sided. And, you know, Jay, one thing that you led your story on in today's E-Edition was the coaching decisions by Sean McDermott and Joe Brady. So let's just take these in a couple steps real briefly. Let's go first drive. They go for it on fourth down. They get it. Now they face a fourth and two at midfield.
Yeah, at the 50. Correct.
At the 50. And Sean McDermott opts to punt. You asked Sean about that after the game. What was his rationale?
Yeah, just he said basically a couple of different things. Number one, I think if it were a yard or less, they would have gone for it as they did earlier on the drive. And the other part of it was just kind of, you know, where they were on the field and playing the field position game. I didn't like it. I mean, whatever his answer was going to be, I wasn't going to like it. You know, it's fourth and two. I mean, what are you doing here? You've succeeded going back to the Miami game, going back to the Jacksonville game. We have seen aggressiveness from this head coach, from this offensive coordinator in very similar situations with a lot of success. Really nice play calls. You don't have something in the bag to get you 2 yards. I didn't like it at all. I thought it was coaching scared, quite frankly. I thought it was a troubling development for Sean McDermott, who I think has made strides as a head coach on his fourth down decision-making. I think he has been generally more aggressive, but in a situation like that, a moment like that against that opponent, I would have liked to have seen more aggressiveness there. And, you know, obviously, then you fast forward to a quarter later and they've got a fourth and one on their own 39-yard line and same situation. He punts it away again. And that one, to me, now I understand the field positioning is slightly different. You are in your own territory there. But I think that one is as egregious, if not more, because at that point, you had a pretty big sample size to know, listen, my defense is not getting any stops right here. If I've got any chance at winning this game, it's to match points with this team. You got to keep your offense on the field. So I didn't like either of those calls by Sean McDermott. Frankly, I'm surprised by both of them because I thought he had shown some real development over the first three games in those fourth down situations.
Yeah, I'll start with the fourth one, the first fourth down where he punted on that fourth and two. And it'd be one thing if this team had struggled on fourth down in the first three games. They hadn't. They'd scored touchdowns. They'd had big gains. And it was, you know, and I don't buy that. If it was 2 yards, you can't run the sneak. Well, then don't. Joe Brady has run a lot of good stuff since he became the play caller, getting guys misdirection, getting him into the flat wide open, Shakir against Jacksonville, the James Cook touchdown against Miami. So, I mean, that was a first guess because if I was a member of the Bills coaching staff going in this game, you got to score 30 to beat this Raven team. The way they are running it and the way your defense has been depleted at linebacker. So, maybe, you know, somebody's got to get in his ear a little bit, say, hey, get back to the guy who went for it on the week 18 last year in Miami and set in his own territory. So real quick on the other first guess was the Joe Brady trick play.
Yeah.
I thought that was terrible.
And, you know, now we've seen the replay, the all 22 is out. I'm sure a lot of people have probably seen that from now. It gets worse, right? Because not only was it a bad play call, it ended in disaster, of course, for the Bills, but it wasn't going to work anyway. I mean, the guy, whoever Allen was looking at, was double or triple covered down the field. That play was dead in the water from the moment they called it. I don't know whether you got to take a timeout there, whether Allen's got to check out of that. I don't know. Curtis Samuel said, you know, he's the one that took the snap. So I guess Allen really can't check out of it in that situation. But, you know, Samuel said they got the defensive look that they wanted. I think that's just him blowing smoke because there's no possible way they got the defensive look they wanted. That play was dead from the minute that ball was snapped. If you're Allen, I think you just grab it and probably the best thing in that play, in that scenario there, is just fall on it and take the loss and go on and live to see another down. But, you know, that is a scary looking play for a number of different reasons. Take away the fumble that obviously turned the momentum in the game, cost them the game ultimately. But, you know, Allen's arm's getting hit as he's throwing. You know, we've seen shoulder injuries. We've seen elbow injuries that this quarterback has suffered in very similar situations. So the Bills are lucky that the play didn't end up even worse than what it was. And Ryan, we talked about the fourth and two at midfield and punting it away and why we didn't like that decision. Now, obviously, we couldn't foresee what was going to come on the first play that the Ravens touched the ball. That's Derrick Henry going 87 yards to the house. Speaks to the larger issue, though, and that was the run defense. Henry, 199 yards on the night, and we've seen big games from him against the Bills in the past, and they just didn't have any answers when it comes to the run defense, did they?
No, let's say you take Derrick Henry. Let's say you take the 87-yard carry off his stat sheet. He still averaged 4.9 yards a carry. So, I mean, he was just running all over the place. And that first play, he wasn't touched. And, you know, okay, where's the pursuit? Where's a guy being able to get off his blocks? And, you know, I wrote in today's paper, and, you know, I'll look at it later. I don't remember a great amount of missed tackles. Now, that's a problem. Because that means you're not beating your man to get you in position to make a tackle. And you know, the Ravens finished with 271 rushing yards, the third most allowed by the Bills in the McDermott era, all the way back to 17. And I think this is the game where I'll start with this, is at least Sean McDermott went to a base defense early in the game. I thought, you know, his mantra and Bobby Babbage too is nickel, nickel, nickel. Well, they found out pretty soon that they needed to throw Nicholas Morrow out there at linebacker just to give him some heft. Didn't really work. But, I mean, this is a concern moving forward. Terrell Bernard was limited in practice last week, Thursday and Friday, with the red jersey. Maybe he comes back from that pectoral. But, I mean, right now, I also point at the defensive line is, okay, where is the stoutness right now? And, you know, they can rush the passer, great, but you got to get a lead. That means you got to make a stop. You got to force a three and out early in the game. You got to get some momentum. And, you know, this was the first time that the Bills really punched up in class to one of their contemporaries with the Ravens, and they were on the mat pretty early.
Yeah, a couple things there, Ryan. Number one, I watched that play back, and you mentioned it there. Where was the defensive line? Where was Ed Oliver? I mean, 41 snaps on the field, not a single tackle. He's one-on-one blocked by a fullback on that play, and the fullback completely wipes him out of the play. It's the knock on Oliver. It's been the knock on him in his career. He has had moments of greatness, no question about it, but he has also disappeared at big times. Last night was a big game, and Ed Oliver was nowhere to be found. And it's got to be frustrating for the coaching staff that this far into his career, we're still talking about that. Now, it's unfair to single him out entirely because it was a defense-wide problem. But I, you know, your best players, your highest paid players need to show up in the biggest moments. I didn't think Ed Oliver showed up in that game at all. And, you know, you talked about getting Bernard back, possibly getting Taron Johnson back. We'll see for week five and beyond. But what do you think, Ryan? I mean, was this a game where, you know, the injuries caught up with them a little bit defensively?
I think so, particularly in coverage. I mean, there were guys open in the middle of the field. You had linebackers looking at each other. Dorian Williams is a better linebacker when Terrell Bernard is on the field. And that's a fact. Baylen Specter, this is not a knock on him, but he's a reserve player, still getting his feet wet as a starter in this league. And he did have a sack. He did recover a fumble. But Ed Oliver on that first play from scrimmage, he was charging up the field to rush the quarterback. You have to realize your opponent. The first play from the 13, they're going to hand it to Derrick Henry to see if they can get to a second and four, second and three. Mm-hmm. And they end up kicking the extra point. So I think, you know, run defense is a team-wide effort. You have to rally. And it just once that snowball got going last night, there was the Ravens were going to do whatever they wanted. All right, Jay, one of the things you're writing about in Tuesday's Buffalo News is Keon Coleman, the rookie. He had a big drop on a long downfield pass, but he finished with four catches for 51 yards, including a long of 24. A step forward for the rookie?
I think a slight one, a small one. You know, you look at that play, and I just went back and watched it just before we started recording here. In the second quarter, there's a little more than a minute left. They're facing a second and 10. You need something to go right at that time, right? It's 21-3. You're looking for any sort of positive momentum to maybe take into halftime to make it a game, right? 21-10 is a lot different. Josh Allen could not have thrown a better ball. I mean, it's almost 45 yards in the air. Keon Coleman has a step, a little bit of separation, not a lot, but he's open. And the ball is placed perfectly, and it goes right through his hands. And you know, that was tough. And I tweeted at the time, you got to make a play, Keon Coleman, right? That's what you're here for. You're the first pick of the second round. You're brought in to, you know, to be a contributor on this offense. And four games in now, it's been up and down. Now, that was the bad news, right? The drop. But the good news was I thought he came back and made some really tough contested catches in the second half as they were, you know, trying to mount a little bit of a comeback. And, you know, that's what we heard about him, right? That he was going to be able to provide that element to the offense. I wouldn't say we've seen a ton of it through the first four games, but, you know, listen, there were not a lot of silver linings to take out of this game. One of them, I think, could be, you know, the contributions from Coleman in the second half.
And they need Keon because teams are focusing on Kincaid. Kincaid, five catches for 47 yards. You'd like to see him get downfield a little bit. He had a 25-yarder, but all the other stuff was short. Shakir is a worker bee. He's going to make plays. He's going to get open. So you need somebody on the perimeter to win their matchup. And, you know, this week is going to be a lot of receiver talk with the Bills facing Stephon Diggs. And there's going to be a lot of attention on the Bills receivers. And I think it's great that everybody gets a catch. That's great. That's good for them. But at some point, you know, Josh Allen needs to say, okay, outside of Shakir on third down, outside of Shakir on first and 10, and maybe Kincaid, who can I trust on the perimeter? And this is a hell of an opportunity for Keon Coleman to become that guy, because Curtis Samuel, for what they're paying him, I mean, it's like they're confused. They don't know how to use him.
Yeah, and you know, you talk about that everybody eats mentality. Well, last night it was nobody eats, and that's an issue. And the problem is, you nailed it right there, Ryan. They brought Curtis Samuel in here to be a part of this offense, and when you're winning and you're blowing teams out by 20 or 30 points, Curtis Samuel finishing with two catches for 8 yards isn't a big deal. Well, it looks a lot worse when it's two catches for 8 yards and you're starving for somebody to make a play on offense. And, you know, last night was one of those games where this philosophy of everybody eats is great when you're winning, but when you're losing and you need to rely on someone to say, hey, I need a play to be made, I don't know that there was, you know, who is it that's going to step up and make it? We saw Allen be Superman with the throw to Shakir down the field. That was great. Kincaid had a moment or two, but you're right. You know, that consistency, I think, in terms of who can I rely on, wasn't there. And again, silver linings, I know, but Coleman making a couple of those plays, I think, is going to earn him some trust of his quarterback. And Ryan, the schedule does not lighten up. It does not get any less prolific, I guess, if you will. Week 5 brings a trip to Houston and the reunion against Stephon Diggs. This is a game that I know many Bills fans, us in the media as well, sort of had circled as being one of the marquee games of the season. It's a rare 1 o'clock start, which will be nice for us. But what do you think about... Yeah, right. What do you think about the matchup here against Diggs and this Texans offense as a whole? Like I said, I know this is an exciting one for fans.
Yeah, it is, and it's this Texan. I mean, Texans are 3-1, but they've scored 24 points or more in one game. So our team's trying to like figure them out a little bit, and you know they're not committing a lot of, you know, they're giving up a lot of sacks, but you know Stephon Diggs right now, his numbers sort of mirror what he did last year here in Buffalo. 25 catches for an 8.3 average and 2 touchdowns. Yesterday he had his first rushing touchdown of his career when he looked to throw on a trick play and then ran it in. I mean, what's going to be interesting, you know, the Texans will never say it. Okay, are they trying to force feed Diggs as well? That's what got the Bills in trouble last year until they started to go away from it. So, you know, I think the main issue for this for the Bills defense is if Joe Mixon is back healthy, and also Nico Collins is a good receiver. He already has 36 catches, and then Dalton Schultz is a good tight end. So it's, I mean, Diggs is going to be the story, which is he should be, but there's a lot of other components to this Texans team, and then the Bills get to face CJ Stroud for the first time. I think a dynamic quarterback.
Yeah, you know, I watched a lot of that Houston-Jacksonville game yesterday. Jacksonville, I thought, should have won that game. I thought they were, you know, they were right there. They're just, you know, they're kind of a mess of a team, obviously, you know, dropping to 0-4. But I think the point there is, you know, that's Houston, and that's a home game against a divisional opponent. You would like to see the Texans be a bit more dominant in that game than they really were. So, yes, 3-1, it looks good on paper, and you know, two 3-1 teams going at it. It's going to draw a lot of eyeballs, but I feel like the Texans potentially, if you can underachieve at 3-1, they maybe have done so here a little bit.
I think so. Yeah. And looking way, way ahead. I mean, this game could be determining if these teams play in the second round of playoffs, where this game is played.
Yeah.
So that's a big game. you know, our last topic is you know, another missed field goal for Tyler Bass, his second in three games, had the blocked extra point against Jacksonville. And, you know, you asked Sean McDermott after the game last night you know, about Bass. And, I mean, the company line is still the company line. But, I mean, to me, you're sort of stuck with that contract. But you got to start looking around, don't you?
I tweeted it during the game. I don't know how, if you're Brandon Bean at this point, you don't at least bring a kicker onto the practice squad. You have got to send a clear message to Bass that you got to be better. And I know they worked them out a couple of weeks ago, a couple different kickers, and that's one step. That's fine. But I think you got to get somebody in here on the practice squad to say, like, listen, you know, you go back to, I looked it up today. You go back to week six of last season, including the playoffs, Tyler Bass is at a 70% make rate on his field goals. It's just not good enough. It's been a problem for a while. I know last night the kick, you know, probably doesn't change the outcome of the game, but it's the first play of the fourth quarter. It makes it a two-possession game if he makes it. It's a 48-yarder. That, you know, we're seeing guys make it from 58. We're seeing 56-yarders, long 50-yard, 50-plus field goals every week are being made around the league. And I just don't know where this team's confidence with Tyler Bass is coming from. I know publicly that's what they're stating, that they believe in him and they've got the confidence. I guess they probably have to say that. But with each one of these misses, it feels like that is just a company line, and it's really hard to believe. We'll see on Sunday if Bass gets another opportunity. Leading up to this big game against the Texans, as we mentioned, we'll have full coverage all week in the Buffalo News. And we will be back on Monday next week with the next edition of Further Review. So for Ryan O'Halloran, I'm Jay Skirsky. Thanks so much for watching.